Season 2 of Freelance to Founder is brought to you by AndCo. At AndCo, they pair you with a real-life human being and a cutting-edge app to help you start, manage, and scale your freelance business. To learn more and try AndCo free today, visit and.co. That's and.co. Season 2 is also supported by Audioblocks. We use Audioblocks to find unique, quality music for the stories we tell on Freelance to Founder. And now you can get access to their library of over 130,000 sound clips for just $99 per year by visiting audioblocks.com/founders. That's audioblocks.com/founders with an S. Now, enjoy this episode of Freelance to Founder.
The formula for building a successful business is incredibly simple, and I believe that anyone can do it. Again, it's easy to understand and not necessarily easy to execute. And it's all about the place you are in your life, the dedication that you're going to bring to it, the patience that you're going to allow yourself to have, and how much this really matters to you, just like how much it matters to you to wake up before work and go to the gym every day.
For Milo, I'm Brandon Hull, and this is Freelance to Founder. You've reached episode 8 of our second season, and what a season it's been. In this final episode, we bring you the stories of Chase Reeves and Corbett Barr, founders of Fizzle. For 5 years, they've run the community and entrepreneurial resource found at fizzle.co, with countless video training sessions and a tremendous forum for those wanting to manage a profitable side project or new online business. They're both accomplished in their own right, and with such different personalities in their company, with outstanding complementary skill sets. We wanted to bring you their Fizzle story together. How did these two get their start? And what lessons have they learned on their own and from Fizzlers? Pull up your chair for this fun final episode.
Yeah, so for me personally, it's like, I just call it like, you know, the ballerina syndrome or something like that. I needed to dance. Like I needed to do my little weird, my weird stupid thing, right? Because growing up, like my whole life, it was just people making fun. Like it was like my dad just going like, why are you doing that thing? Why don't you do the smart thing instead, right? So I always like feel like a kind of insecurity about like the things I want to and I feel like doing are probably the stupid things to do. But there's this also this like little trickster sort of like devil in me that's just like, hey, I don't care. Like I've got to have it. So that's what I think of first. Now, I was always navigating that in my jobs where I had a boss. You know, I was always trying to navigate that, and I was almost never able to really do a great job of it until close towards the end there, where, you know, as you grow up, you realize what you have to have in some sort of roles, right? And so I was trying to pull as much of that what I have to have into it.
For Corbett, it was quite a bit different story as to how and why he got his start with building his own business.
I don't know. To psychoanalyze myself, I think looking back, I had basically no role models growing up of people who did anything that might resemble something that would make me happy as an adult. I grew up very working class. You know, I knew basically my teachers, my parents' friends, and just didn't know anyone who was really successful or happy or career driven in any way or challenged in their career. And so I guess, you know, I thought to myself, technology is fun and business makes money. And those two things seemed important to me. So I guess I pursued that, but not really considering the fiber or the morals behind what these businesses or these technologies were doing. And I just ended up working for one company after another where I thought, hey, if the technology is cool and the salary that I'm making is ample, then that should make me happy and fulfilled, right? And so I just kept climbing the ladder one rung at a time, not really caring about where the ladder was headed, and just found myself increasingly unhappy and in a position where I was expected to work 60 or 70 hours a week. and looking around at the people who had made partner in the firm that I was at, the consulting firm, and realizing that they were way unhappier than I was at that point, and just wondering where it was all going. And I guess at the same time, looking back on it, the only person that did come to mind from childhood who seemed to have something going for him was somebody that my parents worked for. He was a small business owner. He ran a chain of gas stations in the town that that I grew up in. And I just remember thinking of him as like the only person I could see had some control over his life and seemed to have something interesting happening for him. And that embodied entrepreneurship. The essence of that to me was this idea that he ran things. He was in charge of everything, and it wasn't glamorous, but he ran everything. And there, I guess there was always this itch in the back of my mind that I felt like I needed to scratch, which was I wanted to see if I had what it took to be an entrepreneur and if that would lead me to be happy in some way.
The details may be different for each of us, but the bones are generally the same. The reasons why we explore the freelancers and then the founder's life. Chase and Corbett run their own podcast, The Fizzle Show, where they share so many ins and outs on pursuing a well-rounded life while starting and running your thing. But what about them? Doing their own thing has allowed them to do their thing in their way. Though this duo quickly realized how they needed to complement one another right out of the gates.
Yeah, I think we recognize pretty quickly that we share similar taste in a lot of ways, but different abilities. And we were just very complementary to begin with in terms of skill sets. Not that I, you know, hadn't designed a website in my day like most people, but I was never super happy with what I was capable of, and saw in Chase that he had that young energy that you want in a designer. And he's also really good at copywriting and some other things that I wanted to be better at. So it was a natural fit for us to work together. At the same time, Chase will tell you he's not, as he says, a mather. And I happen to be pretty good with numbers and tech things. So it's just kind of a natural fit. And I encourage people to look for that in a partner, to find someone where you each can have your own domains where you are the star. You know, it's tough if you work in a situation where you're both trying to shine in the exact same areas, because if you're drawn to entrepreneurship, it probably means that you want some autonomy to work on things in a way. And I've just seen partnerships go south, I think, when the skill sets overlap a little bit too much. So that's been useful for us. I always came from things as a jack of all trades, I think, but probably more on the operational side, if you will, a little bit more in the tech and numbers and business end of things. But I also, you know, wrote hundreds of articles before Chase and I started working together, and had a pretty good following in terms of an audience through blogging, and enjoy podcasting now as well. So not that I don't like being creative, but sometimes it just takes a load off when you find somebody who is really driven in that way to work with.
For me, it was both creative writing. I did a lot of creative writing and blogging in that world, and had several different blogs that I'd started up over the years. I loved that. I loved writing. I loved communicating. I always have. But that took me on this path of like, well, I want my text on the page to look a certain way. So I got into just like willy-nilly, just a bunch of self-taught, no lessons, web design, creating the website to have the experience that I wanted it to have. Because I'm a gentleman of standards, you understand? I'm a continental gentleman of standards. And so I won't just have my beautiful text, just my stories, really, in fact, my truths, couched in some, you know. I'm still trying to remember the name of that, Corbett, that original WordPress theme. It was like Kubrick, wasn't it, or something like that? There was the original WordPress theme that came, and it was like blue with the gradient, and I was like, I won't have this, you know what I mean? So I wanted to design things to look a certain way, and back in the day, it was all about like, you got to have every single thing that you're a part of, and you were a part of a lot of things on the sidebar of your website. So it was like Flickr, Friendster. It was like where there was like Path was a thing at some point. There was all of this, and I have to pull it all in. And we're calling live streaming now, you know. And so for that was I got into web design, And that just kind of took me over the course of, I guess, a decade, like down a different path. So on the side, I was always sort of figuring out how to be making my own websites, which eventually turned into working on other people's websites. And that is, in fact, how I met Corbett Barr. He originally hired me to design his website. Well, I convinced him to let me design his website, redesign Think Traffic, which was his large, successful blog at the time. And that's and the rest is history.
Chase and Corbett are very different, but it works. And it works really well. I wouldn't call this Jobs and Wozniak different, or Captain and Tennille different, Laverne and Shirley different, Laurel and Hardy different. But one imagines that there were and are strong opinions shuttled over the 8 blocks that separate them over in Portland, Oregon. But you expect that from accomplished entrepreneurs. You don't break through by following the herd. You break through by trusting your instincts, your skills, your experience. Right, Chase?
Even still at this time inside of Fizzle, I'm consciously trying to pull more of the things that I feel like doing into Fizzle, even though I still feel like they're kind of dumb things to do. You know what I mean? I think this is probably dumb. Smarter, more entrepreneurial people would probably say, why are you doing that? But again, the devil shows up and is like, I don't care. Do you know what I mean? Because I think the other insight there for me is I really trust that part of me. You know, I think not only does it feel really good, well, first and foremost, it just feels really good to pursue that part of me. But second of all, I think there's some evidence that this might be, you know, strategic from a business standpoint to be able to follow your intuition, to be able to sort of like zig when everyone else says you're supposed to zag or something like that. You know, so that's what I think of. When I think of why I ended up leaving those jobs, I mean, I'm profoundly unemployable, and just like I'm a maelstrom of potential. Do you know what I mean? And I'm the one who knows it most. Do you know what I mean? I know it more than anybody else. So it's just like there's a lot of potential for being a jerk or just not feeling satisfied, right? In my story, and that's what my path is about.
All right, so there's your intro into the founders of Fizzle. I'm going to turn some time over to Preston here in a minute, but stay with us. We've got some crucial insights from the guys as they've mentored and observed Fizzle members over the last 5 years.
Season 2 of Freelance to Founder is brought to you by Andco. At Andco, they pair you with a real-life human being and a cutting-edge app to help you start, manage, and scale your freelance business. With Andco, you can create contracts, send invoices, track time, manage your expenses, and get paid online quickly and simply just by connecting your bank account. The best part of Andco is getting paired with a chief operator, a real human being who's there to help you whenever you have questions about your freelance business. To learn more and try Andco free, visit and.co. That's and.co. Season 2 is also supported by Audioblocks. We use Audioblocks to find unique, quality music for the stories we tell on Freelance to Founder. And now you can get access to their library of over 130,000 sound clips for just $99 a year. Plus, they'll throw in access to their very popular stock video site, Videoblocks, absolutely free. It's all part of their creator-to-creator offer going on right now for a limited time. To grab this offer before it's gone, visit audioblocks.com/founders. That's audioblocks.com/founders with an S. Now enjoy the rest of this episode of Freelance to Founder.
It's the thing, right? I mean, I think that's why most of these small businesses end up failing, because there's all this planning and excitement around the launch, right, in the beginning. But then a year later, maybe even just 6 weeks later, all that enthusiasm is gone, and you just don't know what to do next.
You're listening to the Fizzle intro video. I don't share it as an advertisement. I share it to demonstrate how when you're crystal clear about who you are and what you offer the world, and you can conquer any fears you may have about how you tell people what you do, a pretty compelling message can get out there.
I'm sorry. I feel like I'm in a freaking Apple ad or something. Can we just...
And that's when we discovered we can craft an entrepreneur out of a single piece of aluminium.
Can't even hang. Can we just look at the camera?
It can be challenging to create a business.
What did Corbett and Chase picture building? And by that, I don't just mean, what do they picture providing entrepreneurs? What do they picture building for themselves?
And we knew that we wanted to support ourselves financially in a comfortable way. You know, there's not some, you know, drive towards money that keeps us motivated. It's a combination of those things, I think. And, you know, more money would always be great, but it's not the most important thing to us. So, you know, I'd say the thing that the underlying thing that keeps us going and keeps us motivated and keeps everyone on the team moving in the same direction is a focus on our customers and the work that we're doing for them and the changes that we're making. And that's always our touchstone. We always come back to that. If we ever feel lost, we always come back to talking to customers, realizing that the work that we're doing is impacting them. And that sort of attitude of service, I think, brings everything together. And then on top of that, you layer on, well, how do I feel about the work that we're doing? Just, you know, is it fun? Is it engaging? That sort of thing. You know, do I like the day-to-day of it, the people that I work with, that sort of thing. And then on top of that, you layer on the financial picture. Is this supporting us? Is this healthy, sustainable, and is it a good sort of long-term vehicle for accomplishing what we want to accomplish in our lives?
That's really the thing I'm looking for. I want to feel comfortable in my own skin, and I don't want a life, you know, you might have heard that quote from Seth Godin where he's like, hey, if you're just caught up with your hair on fire trying to plan your next vacation, maybe you should think about designing a life you don't need to escape from.
There's some really good stuff in those comments. So let's talk about the Fizzlers. There are thousands of members of the community, and they're building businesses mostly like yours, but there are numerous exceptions as well. Chase and Corbett are both fully involved, but Corbett had some great insights on what they see from the community. Listen closely here, not just for who's involved and how they're involved, but what Corbett has to say about how a person should, in general, pursue their project or business from what they've seen.
We've had thousands of people in Fizzle over the years, and there are countless success stories, and we see the patterns over and over again that tell us that anyone who wants it badly enough and is dedicated enough can make this work. So it's just a question of how badly do you want this and how hard are you willing to work? If you want it, don't let ideas of, well, it's just too hard to build a business, or, well, you know, I heard from Uncle Joe that 9 out of 10 businesses fail, or some crap like that.
People are going to have more careers in their lifetime. They're going to have multiple different jobs over the course of their lifetime. And lifetimes are getting longer. And so that just means more different jobs. And so I like this advice of don't look at yourself as you're creating a career. Like, talk about your project that you're doing right now. Talk about the projects you've done in the past and maybe the project you'd like to do. And then hold yourself to shipping some things, you know, and that is where the rubber meets the road.
You know, we see examples all the time of businesses that are doing things in a way that we never thought would work, or counterexamples to, you know, let's say, well, you have to start a podcast and you know, put in a full season and then maybe you'll find a sponsor. And then we see examples like your podcast, Brandon, where no, you had a sponsor lined up for season one. You know, there are no rules, and I think a lot of people get trapped trying to follow patterns and rules and things and don't realize that to make it, a lot of times you just have to make things up as you go along. And the sooner that you can realize that, the sooner that you can realize that all successful businesses are just making things up and they're being run by people who probably aren't smarter than you. They just might have a little more experience or just maybe a little more bravery to try things that they aren't positive will work, because a startup or, you know, a new business is all about experimentation and just figuring out what works along the way.
Where my actual area of expertise, I would say, besides like the design, just like creative work in general, and just like the sort of the emotional roller coaster of being an entrepreneur. I was trained as a pastor. That's where my background is, and now Jesus and I are seeing other people, sort of. But the thing that I find in business for me, and in career, and in craft, and is something akin to purpose or calling. And I don't like those words very much because they make it very heavy. I think curiosity is a much better term. I agree with Elizabeth Gilbert on that, where you just follow your curiosity and it might lead you to something that you look in hindsight and realize was your calling. But what I have seen again and again in people's lives is there's a science to achievement. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I can teach you how to set up a business, how to get a business up and running. But fulfillment is an art.
Freelance the Founder friends, we had so much to cover with Corbett and Chase. They have a passion for helping entrepreneurs turn their things into fulfilling businesses. Thank you so much for listening to Episode 8. Remember, you can subscribe to our show through your favorite podcast app and by visiting us at freelancethefounder.com. I want to thank all of our guests for episodes 1 through 8 of season 2 of Freelance the Founder. Season 3 is going to be epic. If you're enjoying our podcast, I hope you'll head over to iTunes and leave us a review. Ratings and reviews are the way freelancers can find our show on iTunes, and we'd love to hear your feedback. Thanks again for listening, everyone. For Milo, I'm Brandon Hull. Join us next season.